Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you do not change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you that you promised to be with us. We thank you that you promised to help and strengthen us. And even in our weakness, we can know your strength. So we give you thanks for bringing us right through this past year. And as we go into a new year, we just pray that we might be able to look forward to more blessings from you, not only as a church, but as individuals too. So hear our prayers and accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you very much. We're going to read a psalm now, Psalm 145. Psalm 145. And Psalm 145 is a psalm of praise. And it says this: I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name for ever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name for ever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises, and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall, and lifts up all those who are bowed down. The eyes of all who look to you, and you give them food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen. What a wonderful God we have. And let's sing about the goodness of God now. So if you can stand, that would be great. If you don't stand, that's fine, you can sit. But let's sing this lovely hymn, The Goodness of God. It's wonderful to know the goodness of God in our lives. But that said, that song we just sung said, all my life you've been faithful. Not just the last year, God has been faithful to each one of us. So let's give him thanks with a couple of songs. The first one is, I come before you today, thank you, Lord. And the other one is, here I am and I have come to say thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for all In victory, from Matthew rose again. Thank you, Lord. And up by works, by your grace, you clothe me now in your righteousness. And I will always love your name. And I will always sing your praise. And I will always love your name. And I will always sing your praise. You make me come, you make me whole, you give me peace, you restore my soul.
Thank you, Lord.
You fill me up, and when I'm full, you give me more till I
Please be seated. Comes a very special time in the service when we ask the young people if they have had a birthday in the last few days or got one coming up in the next few days. I won't ask, we have one? Good, come on down. If we hadn't got anybody, I was going to ask if anybody had had a birthday this year. Or even next year.
It's today.
Good, lovely. Today. Oh, we'll definitely have to sing happy birthday in a minute then. Right, do come down.
JJ is 21.
21 today. Well done, JJ. Lovely to have you with us. Hello. Oh. Sorry, Sally. And what's your name?
My name's Claudia.
Claudia, lovely. And how old are you?
I've just turned 16.
16? Wow. Well done. So, long time ago, but I was 16 once. Long time ago. When is your birthday?
It was the 26th of December.
26th? 26th, day after Christmas. Christmas presents and birthday presents together. Wow. Good. Let's just sing happy birthday to Claudia and to JJ and anybody else. And then if you want to choose something from the box, that would be good. All right?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Well done. Choose something and then... Thank you very much. Lovely to have you with us. It's good to have quite a few young people with us this morning. And I've just got a little talk for you, only for a couple of minutes or so. I'm sure that Everybody here knows what that is.
A plug.
It is a plug, Josh. Well done. Right. Now, the three pins on the plug, there's a live, a neutral, and an earth. So what does the Bible say about these things? Well, the earth, the Bible says about not seeking things on earth, because there's a chorus that we sometimes sing, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And that's what, when you go to your groups, young people, that's what you're doing. You're learning to take your eyes off the earthly things and think about spiritual things. And what about the middle one, the neutral one, the neutral one there? What is it? What does it mean to be neutral? Well, it really means that you don't take sides. Obviously, if you're on a football team, you're on that side. But if you are looking at something, and a sports thing on the television perhaps, and you don't know any of the people, you don't really mind who wins, you're neutral. So you don't really, you're not on anybody's side. The Bible says this, choose you this day who you will serve. It says we mustn't be neutral. We can't serve God and man, the Bible tells us. And what about the live one? The live pin. Maybe you're watching the television, you're watching the Olympics or something, and things that are actually happening, and you can see it live. It's up to date. It's happening there and then. Now, some people say the Bible is a very, very old book and doesn't have any significance today. But you know, the Bible is a very, very old book, but it's live today. It means a lot to everybody, which should do. It means something. So, three little things for about the plug. But that's not all. This plug I've got in my hand means absolutely nothing as it is at the moment. Can any of you young people tell me why it means nothing? What's happening? What do I need?
I need a cable.
I need a cable. That's right, Josh. It needs to be connected to something. You know, this plug is worthless as it is. Now, if you buy an electrical item from the shops, whether it be a microwave or a kettle or a coffee machine or maybe even a bigger thing like a washing machine or a fridge, freezer, anything like that, it's normally got a plug on the end. So that's all connected. And we need to be connected. But it's all very well being connected to the machine, whatever that machine is, and plugging it into the wall, but it still won't work. Why? Because the plug has to be switched on. And you know, that's the only time that a kettle or a lamp or any electrical item can be useful for what it's made for, is to be switched on. To be connected and switched on. And the Bible tells us that we've all been made for a purpose by God. We all have a job to do. And God knows that job that he wants us to do. Now, we need to be switched on to the power, just like an electrical item does. We need to be switched on to the power of God. So, just a few thoughts there about a plug. A simple, everyday use. But there was a lesson, some lessons there for every single one of us. So as you children, you young people, go off to your groups shortly, there will be those who will be teaching you about the power of God, about how we can connect with God. Listen to them, take it to heart, and pray about it. Let's just have a prayer. Father, we thank you for these young people. Thank you for all our young people in this church. And Father, as we come together this morning, we just pray that as the teachers, helpers, leaders, as they go out with their groups, that you will bless them, that they may grow to know more about being connected to you, and that you will give them your power in their lives. We pray this in Jesus' name and ask that you will hear our prayers. Amen. Right, if we can stand now to sing our next hymn, and then as we're singing, if the youth like to go out, the young people go out, it's a hymn that's called I Do Not Know What Lies Ahead. Sorry, Sally. Come to a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come and we pray for our world. It's in such a state at the moment, so many wars, so many disasters. Father, we commit these situations to you now. For so long we've been praying for peace and yet nothing seems to happen. But we've just been singing, I'll trust the God of miracles. And indeed you are a God of miracles, and we commit these situations to you now. We pray for our own country. We pray, Lord, for the royal family and the government. Ask a blessing upon them. Even as a country we seem to be turning away from you. Father, turn us back to yourself, we pray. Father, we pray for those, whether they be part of our congregation, part of our membership, part of another fellowship. We pray for those who we know who are in hospital at this time. Those families that are perhaps being separated at the moment because of illness and hospitalisation. Father, we commit them to you this morning. We ask that you will bless them, and that they might know your presence and your blessing wherever they find themselves at this time. Father, we do thank you for those who are joining us outside this service through social media, and we pray a blessing upon each one of them. Some we know, some we don't, but you know each one. And we just thank you for the opportunity to share together in worship this morning. Father, we ask too that you will just be with each one of us and help us be truly grateful, truly thankful for all your love to us through the past year. And Lord, as a church, where you've met all our needs, whether they be financial, whether they be practical, Father, we just thank you for all those who have joined this church over the last year, who have given their lives to you, who have committed themselves to serving you. Father, we pray for more blessing in the coming days. We wouldn't be satisfied with what you've done in the past, but we look for more. And we thank you, Lord, for Nathan and for his ministry to us. And as he shortly comes and speaks your word, we just pray that you will bless him and use him this morning. So we ask, Lord, you'll hear our prayers now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One more chorus before Nathan does come and speak to us. And it's an old chorus reminding us that if we want to know God's peace and know how to serve him, we need to have a clean heart from the very beginning. Create in me a clean heart, O God. We'll stand to sing if we can. And then, after we've sung it once, the words will go off the screen, and then the music team will just play it through once, and then we'll come back to sing it together after that. Then Nathan will come up and speak to us. Thank you.
platform, just one notice, and that is that there's no early morning prayer meeting next week. If you need any further details, please see Graham Atkinson.
Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for bringing us to the cusp of a brand new year. We look back as the prophet Jeremiah, who was able to reminisce and look back at the state of Jerusalem. And he said, "This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And Lord, we too look back over the course of this year, over the past 12 months, and we say, great is your faithfulness. You have been so faithful to us in the good, in the bad, in the ups and the downs. You have been right there for us, and we thank you for that, Lord. And as we've been singing about today, about the future, about tomorrow, Lord, we know that you hold the future in your hands. And we know that there are no capable hands like you. Oh, your hands are supreme. Your hands are all powerful. Your hands are mighty. So, Lord, we can look forward with anticipation and with great expectation and hope, knowing that you have great things in store for your children. We look forward to all that you will do in our lives and through your church. To you be the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning to you all. It's so good to see you all this morning. So good to see your faces, your smiley faces, and I greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It pained me not to be here over the Christmas period to wish you a Merry Christmas, but it's so good to see you today and to greet you, and I look forward to fellowshipping with you after this service. But I want to get right into the word of the Lord as we come to the conclusion of our series this month. We've been looking at the theme, the Advent theme of Jesus as the Prince of Peace. Jesus as the Prince of Peace in that great prophecy in the book of Isaiah. And we've been looking at, over the course of this month, at various aspects of God's peace. And in a real sense, we've been looking at, so far, the world and how our world looks at the current moment and throughout history, some of the things that are taking place in our world. And we've been asking the question, well, where is this peace? If Jesus is the Prince of Peace, then where is the peace? We address the subject of, if God is a God of peace, then why is there wars? Why is there seemingly chaos all around us? And then at the carol service, we looked at the theme of, well, peace, where are you? Where is the peace? But today, and finally, as we draw this series to a conclusion, we're looking at, from our vantage point as human beings, what are some of those things in our own lives that can block God's peace? What are some of those things in our lives that can block God's peace to us? I want to call your attention to the book of Romans, chapter 8, and I'm going to read from verse 5 to 7. He reads like this: "Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and it's also peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. I want to come back to the key verse we're going to hang our hats on this morning. In verse number 6, it says, the mind, can we say the mind? The mind governed by the flesh. If the mind is governed, it's ruled by the flesh, then the sum result will be death. But the mind that is governed by the what? Spirit is life and peace. Life and peace. Well, church, here we are. By the grace of God, we have made it to the 12th month. Yes. It's the final day of the year. And if I could borrow the words of the Swedish rock band, it's the final countdown. And with just hours left on the clock, that will usher us into a brand new year. And in a short while, many around this country, around the world, particularly in this country, we will adorn the streets of London to view the fireworks display. And the pubs and the clubs will be full to capacity around the country, as many will choose to celebrate the transition of a brand new year. Or some may choose, on the other hand, to opt for a more refined and a more quieter option with a nice cuppa in the hand and a few rounds of For Auld Lang Syne. But however we choose this evening to usher in the new year, allow me this morning for just a brief moment to encourage and to challenge us that God does not just want us to have a happy new year, but allow me this morning to encourage us that God, the master of the universe, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is not just invested and interested in a momentary celebration to see in the new year. Nothing wrong with the fireworks and nothing wrong with celebrating with our loved ones and our friends. But the Apostle Paul this morning, he wants us to know that God desires for his church to embrace the message of not just a happy new year, but for the church to have a spirit-filled new year. A spirit-filled new year. Because for those who walk in the Spirit, for those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and the daughters of God. So here we have in this letter to the church in Rome a wonderful letter, a wonderful action-packed theological letter filled with important doctrine for our salvation and for our everyday sojourns in this life. And Paul, whilst he was engaged in ministry at Corinth, he picks up his parchments and begins to write to the church at Rome concerning many beautiful subjects. And in chapter 8 and verse 5, as we've just read this morning, The Apostle Paul, he lets us know that if we desire peace in our lives, if we desire peace in our hearts, and if we are praying for a peaceful new year, then Paul lets us know that the very peace that comes from God, and if we cast our minds back over this month to our recent sermons, we've been talking about the peace that comes from God. And we've talked about how peace that comes from God does not always equate to an absence of trouble in our lives. The peace that comes from God does not mean that every day will be sunny, that every day will be without pain and struggle. But the true definition of his peace, it means that even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of pain and stress and worry and anxiety, that God will give us his peace that will allow us to be sustained in the midst of turmoil. And Paul lets us know right here in chapter 8 that there are some things that we can do next year that can seemingly interfere and block the spiritual peace that comes from God. He wants to give us his peace, but because of our human flesh, there are some things that can get in the way and cause a blockage that will interfere with the spiritual peace that God wants to give us. It's almost like a blocked sink that will not drain the water and allow the water in the basin to be drained out. See, the problem is not with the water supply. It's not with the tap. But the problem is with the drainage. That something is interfering. Something is blocking the water from flowing freely. And in like manner, friends, as we head into a new year, as we transition into a new year, the question that I want to raise with us this morning is simply, what have we placed in the way of God allowing his spirit to flow freely in our lives? What has got in the way that has allowed our spiritual systems to become blocked? Blocked by the elements of the flesh. We've allowed our spiritual tanks, our spiritual reservoirs to become jam-packed and overcrowded with the junk and the mess that can be accumulated in this life. And church, I hear the Holy Spirit this morning speaking loud and clear that before we go into a new year, and before we count down to midnight, that it's time for us to deal with anything that is blocking our spiritual peace. As Paul puts it this way, the mind that is controlled by the flesh, it's death. But the mind that is governed by the Spirit will result in life and peace. And church, I believe now is the time for us as a church to govern our minds accordingly. To pray and to ask God to renovate our minds so that our lives can be governed by his Spirit that will be accompanied with life and peace. And we don't have to wait until the new year to get our minds on track with the Spirit of God. But even now we can ask the Lord, create in me clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Even now, church, we can ask the Lord on this final day of the year, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Even now, church, we can pray, Lord, whatever is in the way, whatever is blocking my spiritual peace, whatever baggage I have picked up this year that was not ordained by heaven, then we have to make up our minds this morning that we are not going to carry that same baggage into a new year. It's just like my wife, she's so organized to the point that whenever she goes shopping, and you know now that with the new rule changes in shops, they don't want to really give you a bag to save on the, you know, on the climate and the environment. But you know me, I'm not so organized. So whenever I go shopping, I forget the bag. And I always have to ask for a bag. And you have to pay for one. But my wife, she's always organized. If you go in the boot of her car, you'll find ample bags ready and prepared. Sometimes I ask, why is there so much bags? It's messy. It's a clutter. Why is there so much plastic bags in the boot? There's no room for anything else. She said, no, because when I go shopping, I'm prepared that I can take the bags into the shop. And now I don't have to, like you, ask for a bag. But friends, in a real sense, my wife, she's prepared and the bags come in handy when she goes shopping. But in the spiritual sense, over the course of this year, perhaps we have accumulated too much baggage. Maybe there are things in our lives that has caused us to develop that hoarder syndrome. That we're gathering too much baggage and it's taking up too much room in our lives. And maybe God is saying to us this morning on the final day of this year, it's time to get rid of the baggage. Don't take it into a new year. Give it over to me. Let it go. I want you to flow freely in my spirit. We all know what we're holding on to this year. We all know what's in our way. And in just a short while, we're going to close out with prayer. And I'm going to encourage you to pray privately and give those things over to God. The baggage we've been carrying this year that we know is not good for us. But allow me in closing just to offer three areas, common areas that can cause a blockage in our lives, that can block the spiritual flow of peace and the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let me just offer these three to you. There may be others that you know in your own life, and I'm going to ask you to give those over to God at the end. But allow me just to leave these three common ones with you now. And the first one I want to leave with you that can block our peace is number one, fear of the unknown. Can we say that together? Fear of the unknown. It was Nelson Mandela who quoted these words. He says, "The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid." The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. In other words, it's perfectly normal for us, even as Christians, to be afraid. Nothing wrong with being afraid. But the problem with fear is when we allow fear to control us and to dominate us. That's where the problem lies. Because God has not given his children the spirit of fear. So in other words, whenever we feel afraid of the unknown, and maybe there's someone here today that's looking at the new year ahead and saying, oh, well, I don't know, you know, about this. I don't know about that. I don't know how this is going to work out. There's some things that I'm not really looking forward to next year. I don't know how this is going to turn out to be. Fear of the unknown. Fear of not knowing how it's going to work out. But the challenge is not with the feeling of being afraid, but the challenge is when we allow fear to dominate and to control our lives. Because we know as children of God, as Christians, that whenever we face struggles in our lives, whenever the situations of life cause us to feel afraid, we know where to take that fear. We take our feelings of fear to God. In other words, we don't have to face it alone. Why? Because God is there on hand to help us. But sometimes we allow fear to dominate our lives and we box ourselves into a corner and we don't know how to get out of the box. And we look around and we say, oh no, I've got no one to help me. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this mess. But instead of taking it to God, then God will help us to navigate that fear. And he will speak into our lives his peace, his joy, his goodness that will allow us to see what we're facing through the lenses of God and not our fear. We know where to take our fear. That's why the hymn writer puts it this way. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? And then he goes on to say, we should never be discouraged. Take it. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Friends, I want to encourage you this year that when we go into 2024, whatever comes nigh our dwelling, whatever comes our way next year, don't just sit there in doom and gloom with what you are facing, but take it to the Lord in prayer. Everything to him in prayer. You don't have to face it on your own, friends. God is there. He wants to help you. It's just like the disciples when they were in the boat and the storm came and Jesus was asleep. The disciples were concerned with the fact that Jesus was asleep when there was a storm. They said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? In other words, can't you see what is going on out here? We are about to be totally consumed by the elements of the storm. But what they really should have done is said, well, since the Prince of Peace is on the boat, there's a storm outside, but Jesus is with us. So if Jesus is with us in the storm, then really what they should have said is, Jesus, we know there's a storm outside, but we know that you are present. And since you are present in the storm, then we don't even have to worry about if we perish or not, because you are here. And if you are here in the storm, then that lets me know that things are going to be okay, because you are the one who creates storms. So why are you worried about a storm that is created by the one who is with you in the storm? Don't allow fear to take you out next year. But whatever comes your way next year, it's okay to feel afraid. That's normal. But take those feelings to God. He sees and he knows. And he's able to give you peace that will sustain you through the storm. But not only fear can block our peace, but also comfort can block our peace. Can we say comfort? Now, I don't want us to mistake comfort with contentment. Because being content is good. The Bible encourages us that in whatever season in life we find ourselves in, we must be content. We must be content with what we have, absolutely, and with the provisions that God bestows upon us. But there's a difference between contentment, godly contentment, and comfort. You see, we have to be careful that we don't become so comfortable in our spiritual lives that we think we have arrived spiritually. We can't get to the point where we think, well, this is it. This is the pinnacle. I've arrived at a place in my life spiritually where I feel like this is great for me. I know so much now about God. I know so much about his word. I'm an experienced Christian. I've been through the ups and the downs. I have so many testimonies to share. I've been there to help someone get to know Christ. I've been there, done it, and I've got the very t-shirt. Now I'm comfortable. I've done it all. I just want to rest. But next year, I believe through the Holy Spirit, God wants to challenge us. He wants us to continually grow to the next height, to deeper depths in him, to never be satisfied with the status quo, to never feel comfortable that this is it for us. But I believe God has so much in store for his church that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, that it hasn't even entered into the hearts of men, the good things that God has prepared for us. God has so much in store for us. I've been watching recently, some of you may have been watching on Netflix, the series The Crown. I love watching The Crown, and they've recently released some new episodes concerning the royal family. And in the recent episodes, there's one of the scenes that really stuck out to me, and I don't know if this was truly accurate or not, because we know it's not, you know, we don't know everything that's displayed in The Crown is absolutely true. But there was a scene in which the Queen was having a conversation with her younger self. And she was having a conversation about what she should do moving forward with the monarchy. She arrived at a place where she felt she was now in her 70s. She was at the retirement age. And in the crown, she got to the point where she was wondering if she should pass on the monarchy and the crown to Charles. She's saying, you know, I've been doing this a long time now. I've been serving Carol a long, long time. And she was grappling with herself to say, maybe it's time now for me to pass on the baton, to give it over to Charles. And I'll step back. And I'll just be there on hand to support. But I'll hand over the reins to Charles. And she felt, and she was talking to herself, and she felt that she had done it all. She had done all she could. And she had given all she could give. But then as she was talking to her younger self spoke back to her and said, there's still more for you to do. Yes, you may be getting upward in age, but there's still more for you to do. Just because you are old in age, it does not mean that you have no value. It does not mean that God has not more in store for you. And I want to encourage someone here today. You may be feeling, it's another year and I'm getting older. Don't allow your age to make you feel as if that there's nothing more for you to do. God still has so much in store for you, regardless of your age. But we have to deal with that blockage of being comfortable. And we've got to even say, God, if you are saying that you have more in store for me, then maybe next year I need to get out of my comfort zone. Some of us, we come each week to church and we look for our favorite seat. And perhaps we've been sitting in the same seat since 2001. Maybe next year God is saying, let's start small and maybe find a new seat. Just change it up a little bit. Maybe, you know, even me, I sit on this side a lot. Maybe next year I'm going to sit over this side. I'll say hello to the folks over this side. Hey, hey, hey. God has so much more in store for us. But finally, not only can comfort be a blockage to peace and spiritual peace and the flow of the Spirit, but finally, I want to leave with you, another blockage can be a lack of spiritual growth. Paul says here, he talks about the flesh versus the spirit. He says, if we live in this flesh and we feed the flesh, then that becomes enmity between God. It becomes a blockage. Our spiritual lives become blocked and backed up. And we know that the flesh is contrary to the will of the Spirit. Even Paul talks about that of himself. He says, the things that I want to do in the Spirit, I don't do because there's another law at work within me, the law of sin, which is the flesh. And as Christians, we constantly battle with that each and every day. We battle with flowing in the realm of the Spirit versus flowing in the realm of the flesh. And the challenge is, because we are so surrounded in this life with so much things that feed the flesh, sometimes we become distracted to the flow of the Spirit. But next year, I want to leave with you and encourage you that in order for us to flow in the Spirit, then we have to deal with the blockage in our flesh. We have to be open and honest with ourselves and ask ourselves the question, what are we feeding on? Because fleshly food is good for the flesh, but fleshly food cannot feed the Spirit. In order for the Spirit to be filled, we have to fill it with the Spirit of God. It's just like, I'll close with this. My former college teacher, he once told a story. I don't know if I've shared it here before, but it always stuck out to me, of how years ago, before he got his life together, he struggled with alcohol. Alcohol dominated his former years. And he had this ongoing battle with alcohol. And on one night, he had one of those nights where he was consuming a lot of alcohol. And then he went home to his family home. He was staying with his parents at the time. And as he got to his bedroom, he passed out and he fell asleep. And when he woke up, he realized that the windows had changed. His mum had the window fitters in. And they changed the windows while he was passed out and asleep on his bed. And he was so out of it that he had no idea that they had changed the windows. And
And that became a light bulb moment for him. Then he said, no, I can't continue like this. You mean to tell me that I was so out of it that they changed the windows and I had no idea that they were even doing it? And friends, in a real sense, in all of our lives as Christians, when we became a Christian, God, through Jesus, he changed our windows. The things that we used to see through the windows of the flesh, we no longer want to see anymore. Through Jesus, he has changed our appetite and our taste for the things of the flesh. But the challenge is, and as we go into a new year, if we as the children of God are looking back in the old windows, and we're looking through the old windows of the flesh, then we can't expect to find life and peace and joy through the windows of sin and death. But we have to discard and get rid of that old vantage point, that old window of sin and grime. And we've got to look forward to looking through the window of the Spirit so that we can see all that God has in store for us next year. Life and peace. It's time for us to change windows. It's time for us to look through a different window than the same old window of the flesh. As we pray this morning and we draw our service to a close, I've listed three areas for you, common areas that can be a blockage of our peace. But you know in your own hearts, in your own lives, you know those areas of baggage that you have accumulated over this year. May even be more than this year, over many years. And I hear the Lord saying today, it's time to get rid of it. Give it over. Don't take that same baggage into a brand new year. I'm going to give you just a moment in silence just to pray and just give those things over. Is it between you and God? Between you and God. Just give those over now and then I'll close us out in corporate prayer. So, Father, as we analyze our hearts and we think about the baggage in our lives, the baggage of the flesh,
the baggage that we have accumulated over the years. Lord, as we head into a new year by your grace, Lord, on this final service of the year, we want to give it over to you. Lord, would you take everything away that you don't want us to bear? Everything that is not of you, we want to discard it now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that whatever is blocking our peace, whatever is blocking our spiritual flow, we pray now that you would take it away, Lord, so the water of your Spirit can flow freely in our lives, so that we can embrace that spirit of life and peace. Father, we look forward to 2024. We look forward to all that you will allow us to see. And we do pray that we would not be comfortable, that we would not remain in our comfort zones, that you would continue to stretch us, and whatever you are calling us to do, that we would not allow fear and trepidation and our own comfort boxes to allow us and prohibit us from doing all that you want us to do. We pray that, Lord, whatever you're calling us to next year, that our answer will be yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So we thank you for each and every one of us here this morning. And we thank you that your hand of grace and mercy is upon us. And we look forward to all that you will do in and through your church in 2024. For this we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. As the worship team come back to lead us in our final song, let me just say a few words and just to thank you for your prayers. As many of you know, we had some really unexpected news over the Christmas period that we suffered a miscarriage, a missed miscarriage. My wife suffered a missed miscarriage, which is, for those of you who know about miscarriages, it can be really traumatic. With missed miscarriages, there's no symptoms, and it was only when we went to our scan that they were able to pick up that the baby had no heartbeat. So it was a really difficult time. But I want to thank you so much for your prayers. Please do continue to pray for me, and especially for Anna. It's been really hard for me to see my wife, you know, go through so much at this time, and to see those tears, and it's been difficult. But I want to thank you, and I want to thank our deacons. They have been just amazing and just, you know, supported me and said, you know, take whatever time you need. And I want to thank them so much for that. And thank you all for your prayers. You know, we believe that God has a great plan in store. And even in this time, we're believing God, that God knows and he sees. And this is not the final end of the chapter. I'm looking forward to all that God will have in store for us next year. So please do continue to pray for us. And we're praying for you all. And we're looking, also please pray for our leadership team. Next week, Saturday, we're going to be meeting for our planning day. And we're praying for the vision for next year and for all that God would want us to do next year. So please keep us in prayer for the planning day. And we'll share more about that with you at the next members meeting. So I love you all. And I pray that you have a wonderful, wonderful new year. God bless you.
After Nathan's sermon, he prayed. And one of the things he said in that prayer was asking God to take away those things which were blocking our spiritual peace. We're going to sing a prayer now, but he's asking God to take, not take away, but to take our lives and let them be consecrated to him. As we can stand, that would be good. We'll sing this last hymn together. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my all, and I will be ever only all for thee.
Take my life.
mention that over in the right-hand corner, if you feel you want to talk to somebody or have prayer, over in the back right-hand corner, as I'm looking at it, is the prayer corner, and there will be prayer partners for you if you want to talk to them. Let's just close with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have heard from you this morning through your servant Nathan. But Father, you have heard what we've just sung. Take my life, and I will be ever only all for thee. And as we go into this new year, we pray that may be our desire, that we might be ever only all for you, serving you, whether it be in this church or whether we have friends and folk from other churches here. We ask, Lord, that each one of us might desire, might diligently seek to serve you and to give our lives over to you in 2024. So we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your presence with us. And as we close and we fellowship together in the lounge, we ask, Lord, that you'll be with us into this coming year, and that we might be very conscious of your presence right throughout. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do join us for teas and coffees. No service tonight. Do join us for teas and coffees through the lounge, prayer corner up the back. Looks like Ian's had enough. Had enough? Do you want to lead one, Mark? Do you want to lead a going out song?